Started recording. It is time for Main Street Magazine on Robin Hood Radio, a time where we get together with Thor and Kristen Dotter and we take a look at some of the stories in this month's issue of Main Street Magazine. Thor, it's nice to be back with you. Sorry I missed a couple of weeks due to some testing and some stuff like that, but it's good to be back.
It's good to have you back, and I missed you, so I'm glad to hear that you're doing better, though.
All right. Well, let's take a look at the February issue. Boy, I know I'm a little late at this because I missed some. But the first thing I wanted to start off with, because I think it's a pretty cool market, the Copaic Hillsdale Farmers Market. And you know, I like your headline for it because it's true. Not your average farmer's market. It is different than most farmer's markets.
Yes, it is. So for our readers, usually our farm and animal issue is in March. However, we moved it to February this year because March is our 10-year anniversary. So just, you know, so everything in this issue is kind of farm and animal related. Just FYI for those who picked it up and were like, what's going on? So the business feature, even though the market hasn't opened up for the season yet, we wanted to feature them because they do an awesome job there. And it's such a fun market and they always have such variety. So I spoke to the nice lady, Laura Griffin there, a nice lady who runs it. And she was so wonderful to talk to, and I learned so much about the market. So I hope the readers who read the article also learn so much about it. But she talks about their vendors, how it is that it started, that initially they combined the Hillsdale Farmers Market and the Copaic Farmers Market, and it just it's continued to grow and expand with so many wonderful vendors and all kinds of variety from the area.
Yeah, they've been every summer and spring we start a program which lists the farmers markets in our area, and they were one of the first ones to sign up for that. And you know, I went up there once, and there's a couple of farmers markets that always impress me more than other ones. Not that they all aren't good, but the Millerton Farmers Market and the one in Copaic, I think, are two at the top of the list for me.
Yeah, both of them are super fun, and we took the kids last year to the Copaic Hillsdale one, and we were just blown away by the variety of vendors, and everyone was so nice, and they had fresh food there that we could sit down and eat, and music, and it was just so much fun to go there for the day.
All right, I'm going to go to another article now. When I was living in Kingston, working at WKNY, we rented a house outside of Woodstock, New York. The sales representative, Phil Nero, another disc jockey, Mike Terrell, and Phil's sister. And we used to love two things when we went out on the weekends. We had to have two things to help us get through the weekends. One was Eneman's chocolate chip cookies, and the other one was Eneman's crumb cake.
Yeah.
And they were just a necessity to bring us down from a wild weekend. So you've got a nice article here. And it just brought back memories instantaneously. Coffee crumb cake.
Yep. Libby and Caroline baked this for February. And it wasn't necessarily for Valentine's Day or anything. They just thought it would be they've been working on this, perfecting it. And so they walk us through every single layer of it and how to put it together and their little story behind it. That Caroline is actually one that kind of was developing the recipe and shared it with Libby, and then they got together and put this. And Libby said it's really great, and especially this time of year with a nice cup of coffee or tea, you know. So we thought it'd be a perfect time to have coffee crumb cake.
I know when I was a kid, there was two things I liked to eat a portion of. One of them were, of course, muffins, where you could just eat the top.
Right.
And on crumb cake, my grandmother used to get so mad at me because I used to always take the top portion of the crumb cake off.
Well, you can't blame you, though.
It's such a good combination because that's so sweet, and then the crumb cake beneath it is actually cake. So it was like a double sensation to me. That brought back a lot of memories. And then, of course, I'm going to move on to the next article, and that is Animal Kind, Bringing Animals, Humans, and Kindness Together.
So Lorraine shares, who wrote this article, shares her personal experience of how she came to encounter the wonderful people at Animal Kind in Hudson and how the organization was actually started, founded, and then has developed over the last, I think it's 20 years now, and she interviewed the head of it and just the passion that goes behind it. And I'm sure anyone who's been at the top of Warren Street has noticed the building that it has cat murals painted on it. And so she, Lorraine, shares her personal experience of how she came in contact. And I think she adopted a cat from there, and then talks to Katrin Hecker is her name, the founder, and does a little interview with her about the, you know, her experience with starting it, founding it, you know, what pushed her to do it, and then how it's developed over the last 20 years or so, as well as some of the challenges that they've faced. Like they had a fire many years ago, and so they had to rebuild, and, you know, working in the community and what their organization has meant to that community.
All right. And the next article, the Sharon Land Trust rents space above us at 67 Main Street. Mm-hmm. And before that, I knew about the Sharon Land Trust. I guess since they've been closer and I follow them closer and they're in the building, they do a heck of a lot more than their name indicates. I mean, they preserve, they create, they highlight. It really is, they just do an amazing job.
They do. And Ian was kind enough to talk to them and educate us more about it. I didn't know much about it. I'll admit that I didn't know much about them. I knew of them. So I was so happy to read Ian's article and learn so much more about them and the integral part that they play in our area. And just like you said, you know, they're preserving and building and doing so much more in our communities, essentially.
You know, and I like the title of the story, too, The Forests of Tomorrow, because we do treat forests differently now than we did in the past. I mean, we've out here, of course, we've always used forests to hunt, to fish, to hike and stuff like that. But I think we have a different perspective, and we have that different perspective and respect due to organizations like the Sharon Land Trust.
For certain, yes.
And I know if you love horses, you're going to love the next story, Horse Thieves.
So Christine encountered this organization that I'm blanking on the name right now. It's in Red Hook, the Red Hook Society for the Apprehension and Detention of Horse Thieves. It's on the second floor there. So Christine dove into kind of a little bit of the history of horse thievery, both in our area as well as the country, and how organizations were founded and how some still exist today. And it's kind of, it's a one page story. It's interesting. Not something I think I've ever thought about, and I'm an equestrian. To me, I found it to be, you know, just informative and interesting and entertaining.
Now, before we move on, I always like to comment on your pictures on the cover.
Yes.
Was that an actual picture with there with the camera in front of it?
Libby sure was. This is her what she calls him, Chucky, I think she calls him, or let me see, what does she call him? She named it, but he lives in her yard, and Chipper, that's his name. She feeds him. She feeds, you know, the birds and the squirrels in her yard, and Chipper is one of her chipmunks, and she photographed him, and she sent me this, and then Ashley and I immediately were like, that's the cover right there. He's so cute.
Well, it's not, and the way she managed to catch them, where they almost look like they're posing, they're actually posing for a portrait. It really is pretty amazing.
Yeah. Well, hey, you know, nature is beautiful, and the creatures in it, and we're just one of the creatures in it. And so, you know, I love it when we are able to work together and live in harmony.
Speaking about nature and about pictures, I love the pictures and the story, A Naturalist Naturally.
Yes. So Caleb has, when he's not away at college learning about ecology and documentary filmmaking, he wants to be the next David Attenborough. But he, for those who know him around here, he's also an avid birder and is quite the expert on lots of things naturally. So when Caleb and I were talking about this article or about this issue of animal and farming, and he's like, well, did you know that there are these apps that you can take with you that, you know, you can record a bird song and it helps you identify it. And the same with these apps that you can take a picture of a plant and it'll goes into a database and it tells you what it is. And he showed me in my office, we have a plant in here. And I'm like, wow, that's really impressive. So he wrote this piece about talking about the technology that, you know, helps that. But he talks about the pluses and minuses of it and how some of them, you know, help build into databases of information. And so it's quite interesting that how technology is now playing a part in, you know, in nature and for people who are birders or naturalists and whatnot. So and he kind of talks about both angles of it, you know, that the fear is, and he even talked about, even though he's of the younger generation, that you know, we don't want to have these things replace being there and, you know, learning with our eyes and ears to recognize different things. But if you use it as a tool to help and to, you know, collect bigger information into a database, I certainly see the value in that.
All right. Once again, we're speaking with Lauren Christendotter, Main Street Magazine on Robinhood Radio. You know, years ago when we first started the original WKZE, an AM radio station, one of the first shows we aired and had on was Dave Teeter's Farm and Ag Report. Dave was a worked at the Dutchess Farm and Ag Center, and he eventually it became the longest running farm and ag show in the nation. And when that show was on, not only did he, you know, he of course was a big supporter of local farming and talked about local farming, but he also talked about legislation, which I was always amazed, which was a big part of him keeping the farmers informed and everything like that. And you've got a great story on farming legislation.
Yeah, Jesse looked into that, and I'll admit I don't know enough about farming legislation. So I personally, you know, having grown up on a horse farm, you know, it's a farm, but not, you know, your typical farm. You know, I understand, you know, the ins and outs of a lot of it. But for me personally, reading this, I thought this was pretty fascinating and how there's so many factors that play into it. And Jesse dove a little bit into the history of specifically New York State agriculture legislation. So whether you're a farmer who understands the ins and outs of it, I hope that those readers enjoy this. And for people who know nothing about it, I hope that they still, you know, learn something and understand the depth of things that go into creating our food and resources as well.
Now, we sit here on this February 21st. When does the March issue hit the streets?
I am finishing that right now. It is, I'll tell you, it's our 10-year anniversary, as I mentioned. I can't believe that we have put out 120 issues. and so, you know, as anyone in print knows, that's quite the accomplishment. And so we're pretty excited about that. And so the issue that we're celebrating that is our biggest issue ever in our history. And thanks to our advertisers who have really shown up and wanted to be a part of it to help us make it be our biggest issue ever. And it will come out around the 1st of March. Because of the big celebration of it, I'm printing a lot more issues. So we're going to be going out again to distribute. So we're hoping that everyone can grab a copy because I know some places run out. Well, depend on how much people go out and grab them. And the weather, of course, plays a factor in that when people grab them or not. So we're really excited about it. The content of it is a mismatch of just all kinds of things. But I let all my writers have a free-for-all and told them, hey, do what you want. If you want to reflect back on the last 10 years, if you want to re-examine some stories you did at one point. So it's a, you know, combination of all kinds of content, some new and some, you know, looking back. And, you know, so it's been really nostalgic for me to put together and just to look at everything that we've done and the stories we've told and the people we've met and, you know, some of the businesses and organizations and people we've helped also to tell their stories and get the word out. So it's been humbling, and you know, I'm really appreciative of everyone who has helped us get to this point.
Now, well, I was wondering, did you last year we celebrated our 35th anniversary, and we're now in our 36th year. And what we did is we looked back, and we saw how different we were when we first started, even though it's the same objective, and how our radio stations changed and adapted. Have you done the same thing looking at your first issue as compared to your 120th?
I didn't pick up the actual copy and go through. I'm a little afraid. I'm afraid to be like, oh my God, I can't believe I designed it that way or we laid that out that way. So I didn't do that, but I flipped through a lot of issues. And I've just been going through, you know, my memory bank and reading, some of my writers' reflections back. And for example, Christine looked at her first three, entrepreneur interviews, which was, John Harney for Harney and Sons Tea, Joan Osofsky of Hammertown, and, the Fallons at Copic Auction House, and just having to go back to that issue to, like, you know, our interview with John Harney, who, you know, sadly passed away, shortly after our interview. He was such a nice guy, and it was so momentous to meet him and talk to him. And so, you know, having Christine reflect back and then, you know, me personally looking back and thinking back on those moments But as for growth and how we've changed, I actually penned an article just kind of sharing that with our readers and, you know, how it all started and our transition from then to now and in my own reflection of it. And, you know, some of the people along the way who helped us get to where we are. And then just how, you know, I'm sure as you guys have felt, you know, the changes in technology, how that impacts our business and ways we've had to pivot and adjust and just different, you know, things that I have. Opportunities have come about. So I shared a little bit about that in one of the articles. Yes.
It's kind of a nice warm feeling when you sit there and you look back over your previous years, isn't it? I know it was for us.
You know, we've been talking about it for, you know, 6 months or so, like, oh, our March issue, we're going to, you know, we wanted to make it a big issue and reflect back. And I prompted everyone, but it wasn't really up until I started working on the issue that it hit me. And, you know, the cover is all of our covers, and it took me a long time to put that together. But looking at those covers, I just said to Ash, I was like, oh my God, wow. You know, it doesn't necessarily feel like yesterday when she and I started knocking door to door in the middle of, you know, January and February, soliciting advertising. But it feels like not that long ago. It doesn't feel like 10 years ago. So it's been a journey. It's been interesting and just, you know, just gratitude is the emotion that I feel, to, you know, my staff who shared their thoughts and positivity and talent with us and, you know, all of our advertisers who we couldn't, as just like you do, all the sponsors, we wouldn't do what we do without them. They're without their sponsorships and financial support because what we produce is free. So I'm eternally grateful and especially to all the ones who signed up for our very first issue and just completely took a chance on us and everyone who's been since.
Well, congratulations. I'm sure in the next month we'll talk much, much more about it. But yeah. That's Main Street Magazine, available, of course, for free pickup throughout our tri-state region and also their companion website, which is mainstreetmag.com. Thorne, always great to speak with you. Thanks for spending a few minutes again with us today.
Yeah, you too. And I'm so glad you're feeling better.
Thank you, Thorne.